The book of Ephesians, chapter 5, verse 22. Paul said, "Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the savior of the body." 24. "But as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be to their husbands in everything." He said, "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless." He says, "So husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. For no one ever hates his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church, because we are members of his body." He said, "For this reason," quoting from Genesis, "a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." He said, "This mystery is great, but I am speaking with reference to Christ and the church. Nevertheless, each individual among you also is to love his wife even as himself, and the wife must see to it that she respects her husband." Now, let's read another one. Quickly, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, I'll read from verse 7. It says, "For a man ought not to have his head covered, since he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of man. For man does not originate from woman, but woman from man. For indeed, man was not created for the woman's sake, but woman for the man's sake. Therefore, the woman ought to have a symbol of authority on her head because of the angels." I'm using the New American Standard Bible, please. He said, verse 11, "However, in the Lord, neither is woman independent of man, nor is man independent of woman. For as the woman originates from the man, so also the man has his birth through the woman, and all things originate from God." Now, we have been, as you know, we have been talking about what we call Christ and the church, the foundation of marriage for the young Christian, we said. And what we have been trying to establish in this series of teachings, today being the third and final day of the seminar, our Powerful Life seminar, I said that what we have tried to establish actually is a pattern in the mind of God for this issue of marriage. I said at the beginning, I warned you very closely that I don't teach on relationships. Somebody said that Pastor Bang is going to teach on relationships. I said, no, it's not true. I don't teach on relationships. What I'm teaching on is what? The spiritual foundation for marriage. I'm just going to say that and leave it. Now, along the line, if I chip in things, a little bit of advice, wisdom here and there that helps your relationship, praise the Lord for that, all right? But that's not what I'm trying to do. What I'm doing actually is just to help us understand the foundation in the mind of God for the things that for the issue of marriage. Like I always say, man never created marriage. You get what I'm saying? It was never a man's idea. If a man created a car, he can write a manual for it. But unfortunately for human beings, they did not make marriage. You know what I mean? Unfortunately. So they cannot set the rules. All right? Now, the interesting part is that those who try to throw away the counsel of God, like you see in a lot of countries, they legalize same-sex marriage and tell you that that's just the way the man is. See, they didn't ask themselves the simple question, whose idea was it that people should even unite in the first place? I'm explaining again that if we want to have success in it, we have to get God's idea, God's mind. And one thing I said before also, just trying to review some of the things that we have said, is that once you get God's ideas, physical things respond automatically. And that's not only about marriage, but everything in life. If your mind, your heart, your spirit becomes conformed to the image that God wants it to be, naturally the physical things on this earth, they respond. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, it is not that you will struggle to get a good wife or struggle to attract a good husband. If you are ready for one, it will come. There's something invisible in your system that attracts certain things to you. Do you get my point? There is. That's why if you, those who have studied spiritual things in all kinds of manners, they tell you about the aura, all right? That a man has an aura. Those things are not jokes. They really exist. This human spirit is like a magnet. The way it is charged decides what it attracts to itself in life. You may not be consciously aware of what is going on, but there's something inside you that's actually drawing something towards you or repelling something else from you. That's just the way life is. And I'm explaining that if you get God's ideas and you subject your own, the one that you have learned maybe by experience in life, what people around have been telling you, if you drop all those other things and take up the fear of God, what you will discover is that life begins to respond to you with fruitfulness. Are you getting what I'm saying? Remember that when God drove Adam out of the garden, he explained to him simply that life will no longer respond to you with fruitfulness. You now become a matter of difficulty to get results in life. And that's what we are saying, that if you lose God's ideas, life becomes a struggle. But if you gain God's ideas, life becomes easy. Do you follow what I mean by easy? Jesus said that, come to me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, and you will find rest for your souls, because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's the principle of life. You take the yoke of Jesus Christ upon you. Now, let me just explain something there. Notice that it's a yoke. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, Jesus never said that it's not a yoke. He said, take my yoke. What's a yoke? Yoke is like bondage. Let me start with that. Yoke is like a restriction on your movement. Are you getting what I'm saying? A yoke tells you where you can go and where you cannot go. It kind of restrains you. It's like a hook on your neck. So Jesus said, you have to take my yoke upon you and learn of me. That is, the way by which you take my yoke is by learning. You are getting what I'm saying? But let me say this. In life, you carry one yoke or the other. That is life for you. Do you follow my point? There's nobody on the earth without a yoke. Now, that is a mistake that young people make, and the way some societies have tried to evolve, as if yokes are restrictions upon people and that you are hindering them from fully manifesting their potential. When in reality, if they don't take that yoke, they will take another one. My best example all the time is the statement I read from Ben Carson. He said, young men say that, no, I don't want any yoke. Now, you know, I'm using my own words now. I don't want any yoke in my life. I want to be able to do what I want at any point, at any time that I like it. He said, eventually, those same people end up with a bigger yoke. They land in a place where they are told when to wake up. All right? They are told when to go to sleep. They are told when to eat. They are told when to have a bath. They are told when to put out their light. That is, their whole life is yoked all round. Meanwhile, if they are taking an easier yoke at the beginning, they will have discovered real rest and real freedom. Do you get what I'm saying? That is, the things of God, and I'm going to see some things, and we need to know this one now, because I'm going to see something along those lines today. The things of God initially will appear like a yoke. That's why Jesus said, take my yoke upon thee. You have to accept the yoke of God. I always say that salvation is not free. When I say salvation is not free, I don't mean you pay with money. I mean it must cost you something to reach what God wants you to reach in life. That is, there is something you held as precious to you. There is something that you think it's something that gives you pride or a clout in life that God will demand you let go of, and that becomes the cost of your own salvation. Do you understand what I'm saying here? That's why Jesus says, take my yoke upon thee. That is, I will have you do things the way you did not know how to do it before. It will appear like I'm leading you in the direction that other people are not going. You follow my point? That is, I will lead you in a way that's different from the one that everybody else is following. It's when you follow me that you will find what? Rest. But it is a yoke. You know what it means to be a yoke? It might appear difficult at the time. But Jesus said, my own yoke is easy, and my burden, that's another word, it is a burden. I need to emphasize that. It might be light, but it's a burden. It might be easy, but it is a yoke. What am I emphasizing there? That you have to do things that may appear difficult and abnormal in the eyes of your society, but that is what will get you into the rest of God. Are you getting what I'm saying? And that's what I've been saying in the last 2 days. Today being the last and third day of this seminar. Now, so we have established a number of points. The first day, I said something about the wife of thy youth. And yesterday, I wanted to talk about the hindrances, the strongholds, all right, in that prevents people from choosing or receiving a right mate. But then God led us in a different direction, and we ended up speaking extensively about what I call naming your wife, all right, or by faith sustaining your husband. It's so important we understand that. Now, today, I will quickly go on. That's where we read from. Our text is from Ephesians chapter 5 that we just read now. And I want to title my message today. It's a very funny title, all right? Just an interesting title. I just thought about it just before I came in now. I said, is it a man's world? That's the title of today's message. There's a reason why, but as I go on, you'll understand what I mean by that. But it's a very important question. Is it a man's world? Now, you've heard that statement made again and again. It's a man's world, all right? The question is that, is it really a man's world? We read somewhere just now. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 11. What did Paul say there? He said, in the Lord, verse 11, yes. It said, however, in the Lord, neither is woman independent of man, or that the woman is not independent of man, nor is the man independent of the woman. For the woman originates from the man, so also the man originates through the woman. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, notice the last phrase there. It said, and all things originate from God. You are getting what I'm saying? That one answers it simply. Is it a man's world? Really, it is not. But I will develop it further so that you understand what I'm saying. In reality, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Why did I ask that question? Because a lot of times, the problem arises a lot of times in which a woman is getting married or she has just gotten married. And it appears as if her freedom has been taken away. Do you get my point? A friend of mine narrated an experience after, you know, she got married to a man she liked plenty. Both of them are my friends, you know, very good friends. Now, the lady was telling me something years, long, long after they got married, and we were just discussing one day. She said that when they got married, now, she's one of those kinds of people that are mommies everywhere they go. Do you get my point? And let me just say this one to you quickly. If you're a woman and you are the mommy type, you know what I mean by mommy type, don't ever try to mommy a man. Listen to me, they dislike it from the bottom of their heart. Every single man I have met dislikes it. Are you getting my point? Let us assume you're on campus now, and everybody in fellowship is calling you mama, mommy. Small girl that you are, they are all calling you mommy. And then you feel very, very, you know what I mean, spiritual. And then, you know, you now get engaged. Or one brother comes and says that, how far? And then you feel like, how far with what? What has the Spirit been speaking to you about the fairness of what? You know, that kind of thing. You are feeling very spiritual. The guy said, what is your problem? My friend, I want to marry. Are you game or you are not game? You are trying to make everything look very spiritual. Because you think he should tremble at the presence of the spiritual mommy that you are. Listen to me. You are going to beget troubles for yourself. That's all. Let me say, now, I will say these things to really stir your thoughts. You now know what I mean when I say, is it a man's world? Generally, spiritual sister that you are, don't offer those guys counsel if they don't ask for it. They dislike it. Practical tips to successful relationships. Listen, I told you something earlier yesterday. I inferred it without saying it directly. If you are somewhere and... Well, if you are not married, and even if you are married, this will still apply in a different form. But if you are not married, maybe you are a young man, you have to learn to treat the young women like, the Bible says, like sisters. But very importantly, you treat them as potential wives. I don't mean that you try to woo every woman. I just mean that you look at them with that kind of eye. Do you follow my point? So you treat them with respect. That's what I'm saying. And the same the other way. If you are a woman, a young woman, once as men who are, you know, maybe slightly older than you, or they look like the kind of people that can marry you, you follow my point? Treat them with a lot of respect. Believe me what I'm saying. Believe what I'm trying to say. All right? Now, so in that setting, if you're a very spiritual woman, don't try to boss a man. If you're in a unit and you are the leader, lead very nicely. But if he's not in your unit, don't even at any moment let it cross your mind that you are a spiritual superior. I'm telling you, it might sound like I'm being chauvinistic, but I'm telling you what will help you. Are you getting what I'm saying? I'm just giving you those ones as practical tips. Now, I started by explaining that if you're a spiritual sister, if you get engaged, don't ever try to lead the relationship. And if you get married, you will quarrel every day if you try to be the Bible teacher in your house. Even if you are anointed to teach, don't teach your husband. I'm sorry. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you getting my point? This is the reason why a lot of people enter unnecessary troubles. I might say you can never share something with your wife, with your husband. I didn't say that. In fact, you can ask my wife last night. I was asking her that, do you understand this? And the thing is confusing me a bit. I explained everything I need to explain. I said, please, can you take it on from there? I want to learn something. So I'm not saying that you can never teach your husband. But you know what I mean by the attitude. Don't ever step in and feel like, I mean, the guy got born again only 6 years ago. I have been born again since I was 12. Now, we've gotten married. Now, I'm 26. I was a women's leader when we were on campus. In our church self, I was the leader of the young women's group. You follow what I'm saying? They have anointed me with prophecy and oil. All right? And the laying of hand of the elders. This brother is just a businessman. You know? He's only good at making money. Therefore, at the family devotion, I sit down and say, praise God. As we were praying this morning, the Lord was speaking to me. Don't use those words with your husband. Are you getting what I'm saying? It is harassment. It is called embarrassing the referee in football. You've not heard that expression before. I'm not very good with football. I don't watch football much. But you see, listen, no, I'm telling you the truth. If you know football, I had a colleague, all right? He was he's an NFA referee, all right? He used to officiate Nigerian League matches. Let me see what I'm trying to say. He said, you know, they have three referees on the field, all right? The central one and the two, what we used to call linesmen, all right? Now, most times the linesman sees something the referee doesn't see, so he raises his flag. He said, they are taught like this. If you raise your flag and the referee sees your flag and refuses to acknowledge it, you drop it immediately. He said, you don't leave it up. If you leave it up, it's called embarrassing the referee. Are you getting my point? Listen, if somebody is in authority over you and you go and say, God said, you know, are you getting what I'm going to say? Using that to force his hand into a decision is embarrassing the husband. I'm telling you, small tips that will make your life very easy. This is for you spiritual women. All right? You know, I started this by telling you a story. All right, let me get back to my story. I just went off course there. Now, I was explaining that, so this woman told me that they went on their honeymoon after they got married. She's used to being in authority, all right? Being a very spiritual woman. And her husband being in reality, a more spiritual man. He may not look at it. You know what? You know how we judge this spirituality? Once we are praying, the person starts seeing angels. Oh, as we were praying just now, the Spirit of God began to speak to me, and I saw five angels here, and three demons ran away, and the Holy Spirit descended in the midst of his people. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Now, that's how a lot of us judge spirituality. I said, this young man is more spiritual than that. He will not do that, but he has enough understanding in his head to walk with God better than anybody seeing visions. So she told me that they were on the... They went for their honeymoon. They went somewhere. I've forgotten where exactly. So she wanted to enter a boat, you know, a canoe. And the man looked at it, and he looked too rickety. And he just got married. This is his young, fine wife. So he decided that, well, it's too risky. Lest the boat capsizes and you fall inside. So he said, no, we're not entering. It had not entered her head yet. They just got married like maybe 3 days ago, 1 week ago. So she went ahead, stepped into the boat. And the guy stood, I said, we're not entering that boat. Why not? The guy looked at her coolly and said, because I said so. Now get out of the boat. She told me, this is testimony from her mouth, that for the rest of the day she did not talk. That's cold. You know that you're cold. What brought the cold? It was the finality with which he made the statement. He said, because I said so. If you are used to giving directions, it is hard to not be the one taking. You know, imagine how Tafa Balogun felt when they handcuffed him and threw him to the back of a black Maria. You get what I'm trying to say? That is the kind of feeling I'm describing right here. Now, if you've been like that, it's hard to take. She told me that she asked herself that, what have I gotten myself into? Suddenly, somebody else is telling you, no, fine. Ah! Now, I use that story to bring up the issue. Is it a man's world? A friend of mine, they had the young woman got a scholarship to go and study abroad for a number of years. And so she told her husband that, I would like to go. The man said, no problem, you can go, but I'm not coming with you. So she thought twice about it and refused to go. So I was there, my wife was there, so somebody else, a number of us were discussing the matter. So one of the ladies now said that, but if it is the man now, the woman has to go with him. I said, sorry, baby. You're the wife. He's the husband. Uh-huh. It's a man's world. I said, no, it's not a man's world. Listen. We said something at the beginning. It is whose world? God's world. Now, in life, there are structures. Even Jesus Christ, the Bible said he's subject to God the Father, though he's head of all things. Are you getting what I'm saying? Take Joseph as an example. He was the head in Egypt. But with all of that headship, he was subject to Pharaoh. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? Listen, order, authority in life is God's order. Let me put it like that. Authority is God's order. In that, all of us have gathered here, you know, for example now. Is it Banky's world being here? Not really. We are all serving the purpose of God. It turns out that the thing that God wants you to learn at this time is in my mouth. If you want to hear it, you have to appear at the time that I said. For your information, the time fixed here was never discussed. There was no consensus about it. Is it Vanki's world? No. If you want to hear what he has to say, that's the way it goes. I am not saying what I like to say. I am drawing my knowledge from afar. Like Elihu said, I am ascribing righteousness to my maker. That is, I am doing my own function. At this point in time, my function is to instruct people with the word of God. It has nothing to say about how superior I am to somebody else. I don't know whether you are following what I'm going to say. It's just the order. So for this scenario, for example, maybe somebody sitting down out here, and there's something, because that's how God does things. There might be one person or two or three people that God wants to turn something around for. 2007. And God said, for that reason, they must close with a kind of word in 2006. Do you follow that point? And I said, that word, I've looked around. The only person who I feel can deliver it the way I want, all right, is Banky. So I will stir up his spirit, because that's how God does things. Because it's not every time he comes whispering, hey, boy, come, look at this burning bush. Look at the burning bush. Go and deliver my people. There are times all he does, like to Nehemiah, was to stir up his spirit. You are getting my point. So God stirs up my spirit and says, now, let us do this. Now, without discussing with you, I give an announcement. If your life is going to turn around like he wants it to turn around in 2007, you have to heed the words I have spoken. Do you get what I'm saying? It's like electricity. For these fans to work, for this equipment here to work, everything here, there are connections you must not misconnect. That is how authority is. If God wants to flow blessing into a home, that is the way it goes. The main connection to God is who? The husband. The wire is not having his way for being the one connected to the generator. The person who's actually enjoying the light is all of us sitting down here. But without the light coming through that wire, we will have a problem. You follow what I'm saying? I'm explaining this. Let us understand it. God's structure in life is for our blessing. It is just that we are used to the satanic world where people have misused their authority. Paul said that, he said, obey those that have rule over you. All right? He said, because they are watching over your souls. Do you get what I'm going to say here? They are watching over your souls. You see, I told them, I'm discussing the question, is it a man's world? In reality, it is not. It is God's world. But God has anointed. Now, let me say that word anointed again. Explain something about that. One of the many discussions I had with my wife shortly before we got married, after we got married, and for years after, even till now, was helping her to understand this principle. I also learned it. I said, you see, in the house, as a husband, women think a lot of times, just like I referred to just now, that it's a man's world. Why do they think so? Because the man's world is final. I said something in that discussion I was having with a few people a few days ago, the one I mentioned to you earlier. I made a statement, and I can say categorically, and I've told my wife that again and again, and she believes it, that it has never happened. I've been married now for 7 years. That it has never happened. Let me say it again. There is not one occurrence in life that it happened that I made a decision in my house for my own good. That is primarily for my own interest. It has never happened. The Bible said clearly that a man must love his wife like his own flesh. That if you hurt your wife, you are hurting yourself. If you love your wife, you are actually loving yourself. One of my residents one day were in my car, you know, and we're driving, and I made a statement. And he said something as a testimony. I'm giving you as a testimony now. He said, "Sir, I think your wife is very lucky." I said, "Why do you say so?" He said, "I notice all the time the way you make statements." Are you getting what I'm saying? That day, actually, what happened was I was driving, we're driving, and I saw a car. And I said, "Oh, this car is so beautiful, so beautiful. Gosh, if I had money now, I would just buy it and give it to my wife to drive." He just said, "I have noticed this thing." He said, "I think your wife is very lucky." Are you getting what I'm going to say? That it just always seem to put, you know, her first in things like this. Now, that's the one that is obvious. Do you get my point? But I said this categorically in that meeting, and I'm saying it again. It has never happened that I put my own interest first. Never. But you get the point that there are things that are my responsibility. Let me give you an example. Primarily, it is my responsibility to handle financial supplies in the house. Primarily. Now, there are modifications. I'll explain by modification in a moment. So let us say that I decide to switch jobs, for example. Let's assume I'm not the kind of person I am. I work in places to earn more money. What we decide whether I'm thinking about myself or my whole house is how I spend money normally. I don't know whether you're getting what I'm trying to say here. So you may think that I've made a decision for myself, but in reality, I say, look, that money, as soon as I finish earning it, I know who spends. Young Gicho says something that the way their culture is, you know, I said that there are cultures that have some sound things in them. He said, the Korean culture, the woman rules the house. You know what I mean by rules the house? I said on the yesterday that the man is the chairman, but the woman is the what? Chief executive officer. That's how I help. So that every money he gets, he submits to his wife. Everyone. I hope you are following what I'm going to say. So you see that it is not a man's world in that case. I'm explaining that it's just the structure, the authority of God. So I was explaining that, you see, so a man has the authority. Not because he wants to please himself. No. He's not supposed to. Now, please, don't give me examples of drunkards. Because somebody did that to me a few days ago. You know, like, started giving an example of crazy people. I know one man. You see, the man used to pan a bit his wife in the morning, all right? And put potty on her at night. And put some paper the following morning and respray her the third day. You should take him to where he belongs. A deliverance minister or a psychiatrist. Are you getting what I'm going to say? We're not talking about dysfunctional human beings right now. Are you following my point? We are talking about what? God's order for these things. That's what we are discussing. Actually, let me just quickly digress and explain something. The reason why I'm going like this today is this. I said that to you earlier. If you go and read Isaiah chapter 40, there's a principle there. If you want the glory of God to come, he said you prepare for it. That's why, actually, don't let me digress so much. If you want the glory of God to come, you have to prepare for it. You bring down the mountains, elevate the valley, and make a level ground. He said, then the glory of the Lord will be revealed. There's a reason why I'm saying all of these things. There are people, you see, God is sparing you troubles. He wants to bless you. 2007 is your year of marriage. And I'm telling you. But he said, listen, if I don't help you to understand this, you will keep on having problems because God really doesn't set dates like that. He says what he calls fullness of time. When you are ready, you will get it. And a lot of women are held in this bondage of it's a man's world. Therefore, in your heart, you want to go and give somebody a headache as a husband. And God's in a lie, not here, not while I'm around. My wife was telling me a story the other day about the young woman who had this kind of, no man can do me like that. I will never agree. For where? That should be telling her brother, her sister-in-law, that this is somebody married to her brother. You're taking this one from my brother. Me, I cannot take it from anybody. And she was engaged to be married. All right. Then one day she went out somewhere and did something again that her attitude. And the man, they came together in the car, the man took a bike and left. And sent her a note that actually I wanted to marry a woman. Since we are two men right here, I don't think we are any longer compatible. No, of course, she learned. I think she's a good girl. Actually, at the bottom of her heart, she was just afraid of some things. She learned it properly. I know that kind of thing. The man will not change his mind until he sees the depth of humility. That is, you will say, please. You're not begging for a husband, you are repenting. Do you get my point? It's called repentance in sackcloth and ashes. Okay, you are repenting towards God. Yeah, since he's the God, you can see, you know what I mean? You cannot love God, you cannot see. So if you cannot say sorry to the human being, you can see. You are really not saying sorry to the God that you cannot see. You are following what I'm saying? Certain times people are held up and their salvation is hindered. Let me say this again. Another thing just came to my mind along this line. I told that people have had authority. A problem I've noticed with women who have handled a lot of responsibility, all right? They also have that problem. Let me explain what I'm saying. You're probably a first child in a house. You are used to bossing every human being around you. And you now maybe you accidentally go and marry a man who is the last born. And he's used to people bossing him, but being a man, he hates the idea. If you don't talk to yourself, you are going to have a lot of problems. There's something that happened once. I told my wife, she was a bit surprised. I had an argument somewhere, maybe with a driver or a shop or something, and she was with me. And she was talking and talking and talking, defending me, supporting me, you know what I mean? What is wrong with yourself? Didn't you look? I just kept quiet talking. I said, yeah, let's go. And she said, what was that? I said, next time when I'm talking in public, I said, I know you're on my side. I said, but that's not a sign of a good woman. I said, I'm fighting. Allow me to fight for you. Are you getting what I want to say? I said, if I appear on the scene, if you're arguing before, as soon as I appear, you know what you are doing? You are submitting. I'll explain something. You know, so many things are jamming in my head to say at the same time. So many things. That the truth is that God has blessed you with me. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's a blessing. It's not a curse. So if I come into a situation that you're having a problem, you instinctively take a back step. You know, you go behind and let me. It doesn't mean you don't have sense. That's what women think. A lot of ladies think that it's because it's a man. Are you the only ones that have brain? I will tell you the thing we have you don't have. The anointing to lead that relationship. Single men don't have it. So this wisdom is not with single boys. The moment a man gets married, God empowers him to take lead. He might get to his office and he's the gate man. Do you get my point? And his boss is a woman. That is in his office. When he gets home, he has an anointing which has nothing to do with his education level. He has an anointing which has nothing to do with his exposure. This is the mistake people make. I said something earlier that one of the problems that some women have is that you've taken so much authority in life. You have taken care of your younger ones. Maybe you have been into business. You have been paying school fees for like 5 people, 4 of which are men. And then one nigga comes up because he wants to marry you, wants to start telling you what to do. Let me tell you how you will help yourself. You will gladly accept for that fellow to start telling you what to do. You know why? Because there is a degree of grace you have never enjoyed in your life until you met him. And you will never enjoy it until you believe. You know, the Bible says that believe the Lord thy God so you will be established. Believe also his prophets. That way you will prosper. That guy is a prophet. You know the interesting thing about prophets? They don't have to be educated. They are just anointed. The mistake we make, we think that marriage, homes are run with intellectual capacity, ability. Not at all. Ask my wife, there's something that over years, I told her, I said, have you noticed that when we make decisions like this, and maybe we disagree, that over 90% of the times on the surface, I'm right. More than 90% of the times. And that is a conservative estimate. That is, if I say, maybe she wants to do something, I say, I don't think she should do that. And it doesn't happen much anymore. Those earlier days, maybe I now backstep because, okay, you know, like, I don't want quarrel. You know, that kind of, I don't want quarrel. When I do the I don't want quarrel thing and I relax, the thing goes wrong. It always, 95% of the times you go wrong. I must say I've never been wrong. In fact, our first MTN lines, we lost it because my wife said, why don't you watch these people with care? I said, I better relax, well, you are too afraid. No, I remember that one very well. It's not as if I've never been wrong. I'm just trying to explain something. I took the decision and it was wrong. Do you get my point? If a driver is driving one day and he falls into a ditch, does he make his son, who is 12 years old, a better driver than him now, just because he might enter the ditch once? No, are you getting the logic around it? Yes, all right, so, because that's how Satan deceives people. Start telling the woman, you know, you remember last year? That's how he said, you should do this one, and you know everything went wrong. You remember 2 years ago, when he said this, it was wrong. You remember his English self, it's not even as good as your own. He starts telling you stories, trying to undermine the ability of a man to bless you. It's not a man's world. It is just that God sends the electricity through a particular wiring circuit. And he says, this is how it goes. I used to tell my wife, and this is a fact, I said, you are blessed. I said, what do I mean? I said, if I have to make a decision and I want to know the will of God, I said, you know, it's a bit hard, you know, technically speaking now. I have to pray. You get my point? Sometimes, and that's one of the ways by which God leads, I have to make mistakes. And it's in my stumbling of my ark that I discovered I'm carrying the ark wrongly. It's when my oxen stumbled. Are you getting what I'm going to say? You know that story I'm talking about? Like David carried the ark wrongly. A lot of times when things go wrong, I discover that that is not the order that God wanted us to use. I said, but do you know you are blessed? I said, for you, all you need to do is think about it, pray about it, and then simply say, my husband, this is the issue. What do you think? And I was okay, let me think about it. And then I just say something. And that thing, as far as you are concerned, is the will of God. And if you listen, I'm explaining these things because if you don't understand this truth, you will frustrate the blessing that God is trying to send to you. You will frustrate it. You won't know. Because you think that we are running, you know, with flesh and blood. We are using, you know, human levels to operate. When in reality, that's not what we are doing. This is God's idea. The Bible said that two are better than one. All right? But it now said that a threefold cord is not easily broken. Men who have taught and I've listened to along those lines, they said that that cord is God, the central cord. Then both the man and the woman are now wound around him. Do you get my point? That is, God is the strength in their marriage. Let me say this one to you quickly. My experience, my little experience in life, has shown that the marriage idea is not workable except God works it. And I can quickly prove that to you. When Jesus talked about divorce, you know, he said to them, he said that a man shouldn't divorce his wife. Do you know the response of the disciples? Do you know what they said? Peter and Co. looked and said, in that case, it is better not to marry. I'm explaining a point there that even the disciples knew. As far as they were concerned then, there had to be a safety valve for a man to escape. So when Jesus collected welding machine and welded the safety valve shut, so that the pressure inside we build. People say, let's not just go into the chamber. Once I was watching TV, and a woman who was speaking on marriage, a preacher, and a man who was, whether he's a Christian or not, I don't know, they were talking, it was a secular debate. Then it was the year I got married, my wife and I were watching it. And they're talking about divorce. And the woman said, you see, No room for divorce. Even talk. No, the way God, the man just sat down there. And look at the points. One after the other.
explaining why a man should divorce his wife if necessary. And you know the interesting part, looking on the natural plane, that man made more sense than this woman who was just simply obtuse. You know what they call obtuse? She just refused to change her mind. That is, it got to a point, I was embarrassed. That this man is making sense. You are not making sense. Do you know why? You are arguing on the wrong premise, sense. You are arguing on the wrong level. Because everything the man said was right. This thing does not work if God, that without God, it does not work. You know what God was saying? He said, the two shall become one flesh. It is not possible except God effects it. Do you get what I'm saying? That is why everywhere people have run away from God, the divorce rate always goes up. It is not possible for it not to go up. I don't know whether you are following my point. It is not possible. If you see a place, now this is another issue, where it appears that they are not divorcing themselves and God is not in the relationship, that is when somebody is really in bondage. It's usually the woman. Are you getting what I'm saying? Sometimes it is a man. That is the problem with the doctrine that people like us preach. Because people who hear it sometimes, they think you are trying to teach them marriage according to the Arabs, in which the woman has no voice. She doesn't talk. She's a slave that bears the man's children, actually. You know, it looks like what you are talking about, but actually it is not. Do you get what I'm trying to say? One day I told my wife something simple, you know, we're discussing. I said, think about it. 9 decisions you make out of 10, I don't give an opinion. There's something we're talking about. I said, 9 times out of 10, I neither tell you what to do, nor do I even offer my opinion. You just get up and do what you want to do. As an example, since this morning, I'm just seeing my wife for the first time as she came for this Bible class. Do you know the way you are here now? She came. Are you getting the point I'm making? How you drive? Where are you going to go? How do you spend the money? I don't ask all those kind of questions. My wife is not my slave. Do you get my point? She's my wife. And I know I married a very intelligent... No, don't put it like that. I married Proverbs chapter 31 embodied in flesh. You are getting what I'm going to say? That is, she's very, very smart. In fact, don't let me even go in there. Don't let me give too much gist. No, my wife is very smart. My wife is very intelligent. No, really, really. This is not it's a fact. Are you getting my point? Yes. And she's very, very hardworking, very industrious. You know, when she was pregnant with Akinlu, she used to have this splitting headache. You understand? It's gotten better with subsequent pregnancies. And I would lay hands, anoint it with oil. She would take paracetamol, do everything. The headache, no go. I used to smile. Do you know why? It was a sure one that she would lie down and rest. Because she's so energetic that with belly sticking out like this, you know, she's up and about. This woman, relax now, you are pregnant. No, I'll be back. It's just 10 minutes. So when she come back home and it's wincing like this in my mind, I'll say, Pele, come and lie down here. In fact, tomorrow you're not going out at all. No, they tell you the kind of energetic person. In fact, you know, when she delivered her last baby, a week before that, we had our alumni fellowship. We had a picnic, and then there was a time everybody was dancing. In fact, I still have the video here, if somebody can show, because one guy had his camera, was recording everything, you know, a small camera. And she was digging it out, you know, like really digging it out. Then a week after, I sent an email, because we have this Yahoo group, sent an email to everybody that my wife born. Somebody said, wait. Is this the same wife that we were together at Obazu and she was digging out like that? I said, yes. That she was actually, that day was her EDD. That day she was digging out. She was 40 full weeks. Do you get what I'm trying to say? I'm trying to explain that. So, you know, because that's brilliant. I had a lot of people do this. When I'm sharing some of these things, I'm sharing with you now. They say, girl, marry from your village. I tell you, I won't marry from my village. My wife is an accountant by training. She has an MBA. She used to work in a bank. She resigned her job to come and take care of her children. I didn't marry an idiot. No, I'm telling you the truth. My wife has an MBA. The only reason why she has not, look, you know, in accounting, you know, chartered accountant, she's supposed to take the last exam and be certified the chartered accountant. But the thing is just lying in the cooler. Because I said, baby, tell yourself the truth. What do you want to do? You can account your business and things, can't you? Are you planning to look for a job? No. So why do you have to go all the way to Lagos, go and stay a few weeks and read, and at the end I say, ACA. I said, you don't need it. She might do it one day. I'm not saying she won't do it, but I'm trying to explain to you that I didn't marry an idiot. But what I'm sharing with you is facts, is scriptural. 9 times I was saying, out of 10, she makes decisions. It's her decision. You get my point? Why? Because it's not everything that needs my word. It's only at such times when you need, you know what I mean, the will of God. All right? There was a day she got up and said, okay, husband, please, I'm going out to. I said, where to? He said, that prayer meeting I told you about. I said, can you postpone it till tomorrow? You will not go today. You know, a man of God's wife tells a man of God she's going for a prayer meeting. And the man of God says no. It was more interesting because she had been going for prayer meetings like that all the time and I have never said no. But that day I just said, you are going for prayer. He said, I said, no, please, I don't think you should go. And I said, we'll talk about it later. So next day, he said, okay, yeah, you said we'll talk about it. I said, prayer meeting. Let's just not go today. Then that night I said, let us talk. I said, you know I'm a man of God, yes. You know I love the Lord, yes. If I tell you not to go for a prayer meeting, don't you think you should not go? She got my point. I said, so that prayer meeting, you will not go. And she never went. I won't give you the details. Later, she began to explain to me why she should not have gone. She began to see the thing that is confirming. No, are you getting what I'm trying to say here? I cannot give you details. So it's not every time you just get up and say that, no, well, you know, at the Lord of this house, I decide, okay. I'm saying that I'm not a boss everywhere. Hey, everybody, I'm coming. Everybody, tremble. Tremble at the presence of the Lord. No. 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 But sometimes life and death decisions are in my tongue. The decisions to decide prosperity or failure will be in my tongue. Why? Because I am anointed. Not as a pastor, not as a preacher, but as what? A husband. And every husband that believes in God has that unction. Are you getting what I'm saying? You have that unction on your head. And you women or young men, when you get married, you will have that unction. And you ladies, you know for sure that when you marry, your husband has that unction. The fact that you've taken care of 5 younger ones, because maybe your dad died very early and you were not from a very, very wealthy background. So as soon as you left school, you have to work hard. And for the last 10 years you've been, then suddenly you now my own man wants. I mean, you are used to getting up at a particular time. You are used to making all your decisions. Then you try to make a decision and the man says, I don't think it is wise. And you look like, in the last 10 years, have I ever needed your wisdom to get to where I am today? Let me tell you the truth. A lot of men, this is a fact, they actually don't like to marry women like that. Because they are afraid for real reasons that they will not listen to their husbands. But you see, that's why I'm preaching this thing. They don't have to not listen to their husbands. All they need to know is have the knowledge that this man is anointed. Derek Prince shared something. I listened to one of his messages. Now, before I say what he said, bear in mind who Derek Prince was, his decision around his life. When he married his first wife, the first wife had, 8 daughters that she adopted. And she was the same age as his mother. No, I'm telling you, no, that's a fact. I heard it from his mouth. I have a video in which he was narrating stuff. It's in some of his books. Not only was she that particular. In fact, he used to come to their house all the time. The girls thought he wanted to marry the first daughter. Now, let me know, go into talking about the prince. What I want to bring out is that, he said a time came, he was telling something. His wife that had all the years of experience, and all the daughters that she had before he came in, and she had been raising them alone, living in a difficult environment, all right, believing God, running a Christian ministry, all alone. So imagine the wealth of her experience. Between her and all the daughters, they agreed on something. He said he stood alone and said, no, that is not right. Nobody agreed with him, but they obeyed him. Because she understood that he's the man. You know, like they say, he's the man. But guess what? He was right. They were all wrong. Majority does not always work. You know, apart from marriage, even in life. My good example is the children of Israel. Can we take the land? Moses, Joshua, and Caleb said yes. Aaron will always vote on Moses' side, you know. Except he's not around. You get what I'm trying to say? Everybody has said, we can't. Who was right? In the, amongst the multitude, only those that handful of people. Every other person was wrong. But I'm even saying something here. That though, despite the fact that this woman had all the experience, despite the fact that this woman had the knowledge and had the age, yet there was an unction that was upon the young man that she married that made her wrong and he was right. I'm going to explain something here. Don't confuse the doctrine that I'm preaching, the word of God that I'm preaching, don't confuse it with the slavery that some people are practicing. Because that's what Satan tries to do. He counterfeits the things that are real. Alright? He gives you a counterfeit. So you think, when somebody is now speaking about something that is genuine, alright? You think the person is talking about that one that is that is fake. Thinking they are trying to lead you into that bondage. You can't come and preach women liberation to my wife. She will say, where do we liberate them from? She will gather arms with you looking for the women in bondage. Because she's not in bondage. She doesn't think she's in bondage. Are you getting my point? She's walking in the will of God. She's tapping into an anointing. Are you getting what I'm saying? And you tell her how she's in bondage. Listen, this is one I want to tell you is a fact. You've seen women who are very, very powerful and they like to impose themselves and all that. I knew one who was like that, you know, hardworking, very, very, and her husband was a cool person and all that, and now, listen, though, before I even tell you about that one, okay, let me tell you about that one. I'll tell you another one. There are two I want to give as an example. One married, the other one not married. This one that's married. One day she told me, say, that this is somebody you think she's enjoying it. The fact that she's bossy. You follow my point? She opened her mouth once and we were discussing, and she said, how I wish my husband would take a stand. How I wish my husband would do this. No, get my way. If the man wants to talk, now she could begin shouting. But you know what she was looking out for? The man who will shout louder. A young woman, somebody I know quite well. Well, at least then, I've not seen her in a long time. But I saw her the last time I saw her was when she got married. My wife and I went for our wedding that day. And you know, when she was getting married, one of the things I thought about was that, my God, I hope this guy is hard. Now, I was looking at the guy like this, like, I hope this guy is hard. Because I knew her very well. You know, we used to go to church together, you know, things like that. And we used to talk at length. There was one guy who wanted to marry her. Now, if it is physically speaking, the guy was worthy. You know what I'm saying? He was worthy to take the woman and take her to the altar and put a ring on her hand and say, yes, I do. Just like the lamb was worthy to take the book. That's what I'm going to explain. In fact, people thought they made a wonderful couple. And for years, this guy was on her case. Every time. You know, so how far? And the girl will refuse to make a commitment. And that was one evil with women. They almost every woman does, maybe not every, almost all. You know the way they do? They will say no with the mouth and yes with the gesture. No, Ed Cole said there are three ways by which you communicate. By word, by spirit, by gesture, and by spirit. So simply put, no is no. Alright? A word. But no is also a shaking of the head. So the woman will say, no. And give you an agama lizard style. But guys, let me just give you advice. Take the no. Take the words. Don't ever take gesture. Take what? Words. If the person is hiding the words, they are looking for where to hide when they run away. Ladies also, let me say it clearly again. No. If a guy hasn't said anything, he has not said anything. Even if he bought you a whole car for your last birthday, he has not said anything. If the gift is too heavy, don't take it. Are you getting what I'm saying? If the man says it's your birthday, therefore I've thought after he decides that, well, maybe he has the money and decides to go and buy you one nice little cute car and says your birthday gift. And you are thinking that the guy is proposing, you know, that you are waiting for him to say the proposal. You know the way it is. All right? When the pupil is ready and then the master shows up, you know, that kind of thing. You are the willing pupil and the master is not yet saying anything. Don't take his motor car. As soon as he drives away, don't let the lingering of your throat collect the keys. If you collect the key, drive it to his house before he gets there. Drop it there, take Okada back to your house. I give you a car. I say, sorry, guy, I am willing to receive a car under such circumstances. Don't go and give me a label. The other guys who are serious will run. Now, with that car, he has said yes without using mouth. Then one day, he will wake up and start telling stories that my father really has been disturbing me, that I couldn't marry from that area. That's a coward's way of backing out. Just say simply, say, I've thought about it, enough it. Don't let anybody deceive you. If they haven't said it, they have not said it. Are you following my point? Now, where was I? Let's give you one of that. So this young woman. So she kept this guy for literally years. Now, why am I telling this story? Let me quickly get down there. So when she finished giving me all the gist, so I ask her simply, what is wrong with him? Why don't you just marry this guy and let all of us have peace? You get my point? I will stop hearing all the story every day. And you will be happily married, and the guys have to be at peace. I said, Banky, you don't understand. Now, this is where I'm going to. That day, we were walking. I don't know where we're going. We were walking towards the gate, you know, of the hospital premises there. He said, you see the way we are walking now? He said, if I tell him that I don't like the fact that he's on my right, he should move over to the left. He said, do you know he will move over without questioning it? Do you hear what I said? That if I told him, please, come over to this side. I don't like the fact that you're on this side. He said he will cross without questioning it. I said, that is the problem you have with him? He said, yeah, that's one of the major problems. Now, this is a young woman who, if she and I are coming back from church, we used to go to church together. And now, we live in the same building. Okay? And I say, now, there's a shortcut to our building which passed near the student's hostel. So, for me, I considered it a bit rowdy. Now, there's a slightly longer route, which is the main road. I normally take the main road. So when we're coming back, we'll drop at the gate and we're walking in. I said, let's walk along the road. She said, no, that place is shorter. I said, I'm walking along the road. She said, I'm walking along the other shortcut. And stubborn human being that she is, she will take that side. And of course, Konima and I come in and bury him. This guy is just as hard. I take my main road. Interesting part, we jam again at the staircase of the building. We'll be coming from the building. I said, okay, let me pay. He said, no. I want to pay. Let me pay now. Look, you're a house officer. I'm a resident. At least I earn more than you. Let's even forget whether I'm a man and you're a woman. I earn more than you. He said, no, you paid last time. I want to pay today. Do you know it's a deadlock. Now, that's the kind of human being I'm dealing with here. Yeah, who's telling me that the guy who I thought she should marry, please, for goodness sake. So you will be very happy. The problem she had with the guy was that the guy always agreed for her difficult ways. Guys, you know what women like? They like to be conquered. When you see a hard woman, she's looking for a harder guy. You know one thing I don't do in my house? Don't let me behave like, you know, I'm too strong. You know, because you heard the story of a man. All the men that their wives control, come to this side. All the men went that way. If you know you are controlling your wife, go to that side. One tiny chunkele man, he went to that side. They say, oh God, how come you are the only one that came here? He said, excuse me, sir, my wife said I should come here. So, I'm telling the truth now. So really, I don't want to pretend, I don't want to do like I'm too strong. But one thing I try not to do, is to leave things so that peace will reign. You know, like this, it is not a man's job. Let it be so that peace will reign and it is between you and your wife. No, that's not right. You're supposed to be a rule. Are you getting my point? No, I don't do that. Okay, you know, if I talk now, she'll be angry. Be angry. Because if you are angry, you will still be saved. Do you get what I'm trying to say? But if I say you should not be angry, both of us will perish. So please be angry and we will both be saved. You're always doing like this. Yes, and I will do it tomorrow. For your information, I'm not changing today. Because as long as I'm concerned, what I'm doing is right. And you are too difficult, yes. Is that not why you like me? Is that not why you married me? There were soft, soft guys all over you. Abi? I remember one lady, a friend of mine was telling me about. That lady, if you're talking to her, he said, maybe you mentioned something like Chukwubike. He would say Chukwubike is sweet. Chukwubike is a sweet brother. That brother is sweet. You know what she calls sweet? Chukwubike is going to read, and she's coming along. He said, Chukwubike, please, I wanted to go all the way to this place to go and buy something. Will you escort me? And Chukwubike will say, no problem. Hey, can you hold my bag? And Chukwubike will say, yes. And then she will have good company, walk her down there. She will help her buy the thing, carry the thing back. I say, thank you very much. That's the sweet guy. But let the sweet guy come tomorrow with, the Lord has been speaking to me and I've been considering, you know. Exactly. She go look there. Eh? Iwo. She go bring the issue, you know, the nail. Put on and use a, you know, not sledgehammer. What they call this now? This thing they use for drilling the ground. A jackhammer. Yes, jackhammer. She uses a jackhammer to send it through your head. But you know the kind of guys she liked? That she wouldn't give a show for any reason. They were the hard guys. Who would say, please escort me. And say, what? Did you not notice that I'm going to read? Please, you're on your own. And the guy will go where he's going. I'm telling you, now this thing is biologic. It's in the soul of every woman. They like the guy who can take the lead. Who can take charge. You know why? That is how God made it. Is it a man's word? No. It is God's order. That's what we're talking about. Each one will just be as blessed as the other if they play their roles properly. Do you get the point I'm making here? That's the main thing I want to explain today, because I don't know, I just felt strongly that is the problem a lot of people have. And there's something I want to chip in quickly before I leave it. Now, this one's actually something I heard somebody say before, and I don't know, maybe one or two people here have that kind of attitude. So let them just dispel it now. Do you know there are men who are afraid to marry because they think the woman wants to take over their life? That is, they like to be irresponsible. You know, my irresponsible. You know, those days, as a single man, when I earn my money, nobody asks me what happens to it. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? Nobody. If I go visiting, maybe I travel and... or maybe you go visiting, and then it gets lit, and you're in your friend's house. You could just put one thing, watch, one is 12 minutes, and say, oh, boy, maybe we'll just sleep. You know, and I will just crash for floor there, and then tomorrow you go back to where you came from. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's a sweet life, you know, in quotes, sweet. Can just wake up tomorrow and say, man, Enugu is boring, man. Nothing happening, man. Everywhere just dry. Just carry money, enter bus, you're off to Lagos. You enter another irresponsible guy like you. You enter his house. Hey, boy, what's happening? What's happening? Hey, you guys. You crawl out in the evening. Go and eat. So you tell stories. Then Monday, you rush back to go to work. Irresponsible lifestyle. Any married man doing it, decrease. Are you following my point? Most men know that once you get married, it cannot happen again. They know. That's the end of it. Once you earn your pay, you get my point? The pay has to be submitted at the altar as a burnt offering unto the wife. No matter how boring Enugu is, you can't just wake up and say, I'm going visiting. Let me just say this. That's why if you're not a godly man, a lot of men who are not godly, they still do it. And that is ungodly. You don't love your wife. You actually hate yourself. Just like the man is an authority of blessing in the woman's life, that woman has a power of restraint to help that man focus on his vision. I don't know whether you get my point. The fact that you have to go back home, nobody's forcing you, but you know that you have wife there, even if you don't have kids yet. You will go back. You won't just say that, man, it's too late, man. Just for your wife, I'll go see you tomorrow morning. There's nothing like that, too. You will go back home. Man, you are making spiritual progress. If it's business you are doing, believe me what I'm saying. Do you know your money goes far farther? You get my point. It stretches for longer if you have a wife with you than if you do all this. Other, my wife's a liability. It's a lie. They have not told you the truth. You know, there are monies I can't spend in the office. I say, I can't tell my wife. And listen, if I can't tell my wife something, I'm not supposed to do it. I say, I'll go buy this one. I say, buy what? If I carry this one, go house, how will I explain? No, at least, I don't know whether this is... well, no, this is right. It's godly. The way I am, there's no money I spend that I don't... apart from being accountable, I know that my wife will concur. I may not ask her opinion. You get my point? You understand what I'm saying? But I know she will agree. I know what she will not agree with. I don't know whether you're following what the point I'm going to make. Look, virtually every time my wife buys clothes, she doesn't ask me, should I buy this cloth? She buys almost, at least 9 out of 10 clothes you see me wear, she buys them. That is, I just come home and they just toss it to me. So I say, this looks very nice. Thank you. God bless you. You get what I'm saying here? But I'm trying to figure out something here. But she knows expenditure she can't make. That no, my husband won't buy this. That my husband will not agree with this. So at such times, I get a phone call. I was just thinking, what? Yeah, this one, don't you think it would be nice? How much is it? What? Forget it. No, you don't go agree. Yes, I don't go agree. Thank you. But she knows I don't go agree. That was why she called. And peradventure, I agreed. You know what I say? We thank the Lord. But for me, it's also this. It's both ways. It's both ways. It works both ways. If you bring something to my office, come and buy. I go first look up. I know the limit of expenditure I can make without informing my wife. Because you can't tell somebody to take charge of something that you remove all her powers to control the thing. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? No, I'm just explaining something. So a lot of men, you see, the problem is that they are afraid. They think that the wife, you know, you start hiding things as if the woman is your adversary. I see it around and I can't understand. As if the young woman is an adversary. No, my wife must not know that this money is there. No, she just sees the money now. Then you hide it. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That is the reason why a lot of men really don't marry. They think that, they are afraid that their freedom will vanish. Meanwhile, what God is trying to do is to give your life direction. I hope you are getting my point. He's trying to give you focus. You have been spending money anyhow. That's how every one of the things that your friends want to do, they put your name inside. You too, you will spend. Because you are not accountable to anybody. I think it's a privilege to be accountable to somebody. You know that? It's a privilege. What have I said? Nothing I said because I want to bring everything to a close. All the things I've been doing in all this sharing we have been sharing, you know, is to get our minds out of the order in the world. Do you get my point? Out of the way things are done in our village. Please believe me, when God decided to create a wife for Adam, it was to make his life better. Do you get my point? It's not a burden. It was an addition to his life that God was creating for him. And I want you to get into God's mind and realize that it's a blessing you are reaching out for. It's not a responsibility that will weigh you down that you're about to take on. Are you getting my point? A lot of times, you know, we give ourselves, you know, I've shared this one before on radio. People are running towards what their heart is actually rejecting. Are you getting my point? They will sit down and say, I'm looking for a wife, I'm looking for a wife, I'm looking for a wife. When inside their heart, they are afraid of one. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? You know, he said, me too, I want to get a man married, maybe I'm a woman. When inside her heart, she is actually rejecting the husband. You are following the point I'm making? That's why I've been sharing all things I've been sharing. Just to believe me, I don't think I've said many things yet. I mean, this, how many things can we say? But I'm trying to get us to bring our minds into, remove it from the concept in our society. You don't have to marry from your village. Let me just say that one again. It's not necessary. It is not. God has nothing to say to the Christian who says that my wife must come from a particular state or my husband should come from a particular state. I've heard stupid statements like, why do you want to marry from there? Men from there, they know how to take care of their wives. You also find that those men tend to have more than 2 girlfriends. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Because you cannot take one and leave the other. You want men from there. Then you take all the things that men from there do. Our wives from here are very good. That's not the thing. What you need is to get a good and godly woman. I said yesterday about having an expectation in your heart. Guys, ladies, I don't know whether I have much to tell you there, but guys, I can give you this one. Go and every day, especially if you want to marry by next year, take that Proverbs 31 and be reading it and admiring it. Do you get what I'm saying? Just take it, be reading it, and what? Admiring it. And remember one thing, he said that her husband's heart trusts in her. Be ready to have your heart trust in somebody. Are you following what I'm trying to say here? Be reading it and admiring it, because with that you are generating a spiritual force within your soul that starts attracting a good woman. Are you getting the point I'm making? Well, I don't know which one to tell women to read, but just read the whole Bible. There's something inside there for you somewhere. Hey, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Believe me, there are things that God wants to bring into your life that I shared this one somewhere once. I was just telling people, and I want to say the same thing again. There are people that have, you know, for them, breakthrough. You know what's breakthrough? Like something breaks and pours upon you. Their breakthrough is being hindered by one step they are supposed to take. For some people, it is go and get married. God says, you don't understand. I can't do this thing if you are yet single. No, I can't. Pharaoh looked at Joseph and said, you can't work for me now. No, not like this, not like this, not like this. I have to settle you in that area first. I'm not saying it's like that for everybody. Are you getting my point? But I believe seriously for some men, they say, and then what is delaying them is that they are waiting to get more money. And God said, I want to give you more money, but I will not give you until I can give you a wife first. I have seen people who keep on delaying. Why? They are waiting. They are waiting for more money to come into their hands. There are men who had jobs when they got married and they lost it after. You know that? What you need is a good wife, but not more money. So your prayer point should be, Lord, send the good wife in my direction. Are you getting the point I'm making here? I believe that very strongly. That there are breakthroughs waiting for some men. Because around here, I see too many people are not my wife. They make it look as if, now these women, they are expensive. Oh. And let me just share this one. You know, in our village, it costs so much money to marry a wife. I don't believe that. You know why I don't believe it? All the shoemakers and organizers in your place, are they not getting married? No, tell me now. Are they not getting married? The small mechanics are getting married. I'm telling you. People are not earning much. I mean, every day I see people give me cards in my office, where I work. There are all kinds of people from level 1 to level 17. As level 1 man is getting married, so is the level 17 one getting married. The ones that refuse to get married, the ones on level 14, they are afraid. I don't know what their problem is. No, that's just by the way. Look, it is the money you have you spend. They have a saying in my place. They said, let me try and paint it well. They said, the money you don't have, no enforcer can collect it. That's the simplest way to put it. That the money that is not there cannot be taken by any enforcer. So this one that, you know, bank in our place, it costs so much money. It is because you have the money to spend. We say, you know, in our place, barrier is very expensive. I say, it's because you have the money to spend. How many of you have gone bankrupt because you did funeral? Even if you will be smiling, it's because you were lying to us that you didn't have money. So when barrier came, now they took the money from where you kept it by force. Are you getting my point? And listen, there's another thing that you have to understand. Once you begin to take a step, God begins to flow, you know, things in your direction. Also, I was sitting there and you gather every morning before you. Look, if you have been keeping one young woman waiting there, I will prophesy that she will dislike you and go and marry somebody else now. If you don't go and do what a man is supposed to do. So I'm waiting to get money first. What is it? You know, one day, so I finished preaching. One young woman came to me and said, Pastor Banky, are you trying to say that a car is not necessary? You know, it's good, for example, now, that the guy will buy a car first, you know? I said, let's look at this scenario. Let's assume now that he doesn't have money and God refused to help him buy a car. So you won't marry him again. She said, I'll marry him now. I said, so why don't you marry him now until we can buy a car together? She got the point. No, you know, it's simple logic. If he doesn't buy the car, you are telling me now, you will tell the man that, oh boy, you don't have motor, I won't marry you. Or if you finish marrying him and the car catches fire, or that one was even in Benin. As just they come grow, one boy will just say, oh boy, stop there, I shoot you. Come down. I carry the car, come out. You know, you tie your wedding ring, remove it, put in the boot of the car, they are driving it away. You won't do that, will you? I hope you are getting my point. Is somebody learning something tonight? Are you learning something tonight? Please don't invite curses from the gods of your village by fearing them. You know by fearing them? In our village, we don't marry from there. Marry a good Christian. That is what you need. Whether she's from your village, or he's from your hometown, or he's not from your state, or he's from Adamawa state. There's one who, let me tell you this story. Let me use it to close. Make you laugh. One Hausa man. His daughter's name is Zainab. They posted Zainab to Ondo State to come and do you service. The man said, no, 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 no. Because this man was one petite fine girl like this. He said, one Yoruba man will find this girl and marry her. And I do not want. So from Sokoto. So he said, no. So he used his influence and redirected the posting of Zainab to Sokoto State. Unfortunately for him, he does not know that NYC, they carry Sokoto, Ondo boys, go Sokoto. Now I carry one Ondo boy. Carry and go Sokoto. As the boy lands camp, now he sees Zainab, yay. I'm telling you, I know them. The guy is a doctor. I know them very well. I knew. I knew them when I was in house job. She was the one that told me the story. That time when she was in camp, they used to have during the NYC, the year, they had CD. So their own was farm, you know, they used to go to the farm and all that. She said she would just sit down, and the guy would do his portion and do her portion. And you do, because he's a doctor, he actually could refuse to come for the CD. You know, you could do it. But the guy will come for CD diligently, be doing her work for her. And then finally, she followed her home, visited her. He said, her father didn't just complain. The moment her father saw the guy, he just said, it must be the will of God. That for all my struggles, he see me see one. Of course, by the time I met them, he had married her properly. They were fully married. In fact, they had one little daughter to show for it. Are you getting my point? They were fully married. When the father was trying to, you know, corner God, God said, I'll show you now. We'll see who's God here, whether it is you or me. He said, your daughter shouldn't come to Ondo. He said, no problem. Kind of Ondo man and carried him to Sokoto, and the whole case was settled. Are you getting my point? There are a lot of times we have hindered the blessings of God. You know, the Bible says, he that observes the cloud will not what? Will not reap. No, it says, he that observes the wind will not sow. But then having sown sometimes, when it's time to reap, you have prayed, you have gone for prayer meeting, you have fasted, you have done everything necessary. God said, I want to pour blessing now. He said, in our place, we don't take that kind of blessing. In our place, we don't do this. In our place, you know. By the time you finish, the blessing goes somewhere else. He said, he took away the first to establish the second. Young woman, if one guy is asking you, and you know the answer is supposed to be yes, you are sitting like this, like this, like this. God may be long-suffering, no, but it's not permanent suffering. Suffering may be long. It has an end. Are you getting the point I'm making? A day will come. You know, Jesus said, guys, listen, when you are persecuted in this city, flee to the next. Are you getting what I'm saying? I know the love you have for the young woman is strong, but the persecution is also too much. You know what God told Saul, Samuel? He said, you have mourned Saul long enough. Now fill your horn with oil. Go down to the house of Jesse and anoint for me a king there. Are you getting what I'm ready to say? And then he got there, he found David. As long as you are mourning Saul, you will not anoint your David. He said, I spent so much money on that young woman. It is called Anyway, there's a message I have there. Pick one before you go. Take that loss. Those are the lessons in life. So you spent money. Too bad. It's one of those things. They happen. It has happened. And I said, all the recharge cards I bought for you. Give me back. I want my phone back. You are a goat. Leave the thing for the girl. Let her go. She don't want to marry you. Now you want to give the entire time before. But you ladies too, if you don't say you don't want to marry, don't take the phone. You getting my point? Leave them. Not just by the way. The Lord is good. If you have learned something tonight, shout a very loud amen.